Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Life Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240 for Autumn Semester 2021. Today, review for the midterm exam. It will be 40 questions, multiple choice, true and false, and then numeric answers, and a small matching section. The exam is organized and looks very similar to a big quiz of mine. Same look, same feel, same joy, or not. No wild curveballs. It's based upon lectures. Again, it might be in the book, but if I haven't said it in lecture, talked about it in lecture, then it is not on the table. And I can say things in lecture that aren't in the book. That's fair game. This is a lecture-based exam. You may have your formula sheet that is in your resources tab, and you can put some annotations about what formulas mean and all that on that. You're also permitted a 4-inch by 6-inch note card. And for God's sake, don't ask me if you can have it on both sides writing. Yes, of course you can. I can't go around making you flip your stupid cards over. The whole purpose of that, of course, is that that is a great study mechanism. If you're thinking, well, I can just write some stuff down and then I don't have to study, you're dead. You will be toast. Same is, you can have your computer open, obviously, so that you can use your calculator. But if you go and find answers on the internet, I've got the answer that the internet answers there for you, and you'll get it wrong, and I'll be able to tag, you went to the internet for that answer, and then we'll have a conversation. The purpose of the computer is not to replace you. It is simply as an assistant. The calculator, I'm trying to think. Pretty much all of the questions on this exam you can do on the calculator. Like you saw in some cases, it's actually kind of faster to do it by a formula than have the app do it. But everything there, now let me get specific. I'm going to have you calculate a loan payment. Okay? You tell me the payment. I'm going to give you just like I did in class and just like I did on the quiz. Loan payment. I'm going to have you tell me what the effective interest rate on the loan is. I am also going to have you calculate the balance after a certain number of years or months. Just like I did on the quiz. It's the same question. If you got it there, you should have no problem with it on the exam. Also, as far as just to get that out of the way, there will be a future value question there too. An annuity, well, you put this much money in starting now, how much will you have after 20 years or something like that? Simple, straight up, just like I did on the quiz. No massive surprises. I'm not trying to find out your aptitude. This test is primarily an achievement test. In other words, what have you learned, not what can you learn? That's in the quizzes, and that's in the final exam. A mother's work is never done. Know your definitions, for heaven's sake. So far in the class, I have given you 92 now. New words or terms, or much more specific versions of words and terms that you've used in your everyday language, but they don't mean the same thing now, or they mean something much tighter. Going through all of them, if you come out of your notes, if you got a sheet of paper here, and from your notes and from listening to the podcast again, you write down 60, you're in good shape. They just pour at you. Now, the ones I'll use, for example, liquidity. There is a definition on the internet. It's all over the internet, and that definition is wrong. Well, let's put it this way. That definition is a baby definition. It's like Wikipedia is for children. It does, if you don't know what the question means, then answers are going to give you nothing. Liquidity is the efficiency with which an asset can be converted to another asset. And that's the only time I'm going to say it, because you should already have it in your notes. I said it three times, and then I just said it again. I'm getting tired of saying it. No liquidity. Know the difference between, remember I talked about capital versus money? You remember that? And another distinction, a spot price versus a forward price. You remember that? And I asked that on the quiz. And I got, typically that one gets a little bit higher than it did this time, but a spot price is what you pay now. A forward would be an agreed upon price for a future engagement. Like, for example, you buy gas at spot. You might be able to talk to the owner of the gas, say, hey, listen, could I buy gas next week for $3.19 a gallon? And he's going to say, screw you, because it's going to be higher. But future, a forward price, or the book calls it a futures price. That's technically, again, that's a little bit amateurish. Some forwards are futures, but not all forwards are futures. So there are forwards, and so we use forward price. What you would can get or pay at a later time. Spot is what you're getting now. Like your salary is actually a forward price when you get a job after you graduate here, because you're agreeing to a specific price for your services for a period of time. Anyway, I don't want to get into that anything like that too deeply. Terms like financial intermediation. What are the three matching things that have to match? I mean, different kinds of banks. An investment bank is very different from a commercial bank. An IB, as you've heard me call it, is the one that would do a firm commitment, buy the stock from a company that wants to sell stock. Secondary versus primary market. Make sure you know that. Equity versus debt. What do I mean by equity? There are two big kinds. Remember, common stock and preferred stock? And debt comes in all kinds of varieties. Now, a small, very short term, we call a bill. And then there's a note in the bond. Remember that. Make sure you know some examples of short-term borrowings of bills. There's obviously the T-bill. And by the way, remember the skit with Mabel and the auction? I'm going to ask you one of those. I'm going to ask you for a yield on a debt instrument. Okay? I'm telegraphing my punches. For God's sake, don't let me knock you out. I'm trying to telegraph the punches here as much as I can. I can't remember everything. I'm old. I can't remember my name sometimes, but I do know whether I had dinner or not because I'm still hungry. Wait, I'm still hungry even after I've had dinner. Keep your focus here. Where the hell was I now? You remember there were things that were long-term, like, I used terms like commercial paper. Remember that one? And a debenture versus a mortgage bond. And ETCs I brought up. Equipment trust certificates. You remember those? I was telling you the story about first time I heard the term and I had no idea what they were talking about was when I was in oil and gas exploration and exploitation. I mean, I've been pouring all these terms at you, and it kind of seems like a lot of it, well, you just said something and you don't put it down in your notes. Go back and listen to those podcasts with your notes open. You're going to be surprised at how much you don't have in there. I know it's a boring thing to do, but hell, I mean, we've already made it through Parents Weekend, so we might as well get back down to some grueling stuff. But and homecoming. Mm. Let me look at the exam. Well, actually, I suppose I could just put the exam up on the overhead so you could see it. No, I won't do that. Just checking. One time, I don't know if I mentioned it or not. One time, I actually forgot the overhead was on. And there was the exam. I was looking at the exam. Man, people were writing like, you know, I thought, man, they're really into this exam. And I thought, oh, hell. And I mean, it was too late to rewrite it because that was a class that was every day and it was the day before the exam. Irritates me. Okay, costs. What do accountants care about? What do finance people care about? Finance and economics people care about. We don't care about the same thing. Accountants care about costs that, well, for one thing, obviously, they care about costs that have already happened. They have to. They have to have a receipt. They can't have a receipt for something that is going to happen. But that's where we come in because we cannot, history doesn't really matter to us. We want to know what's going to happen next. You, sir, have been an incredible man your whole life. But then what do you go out and do? Halloween, you put on a clown outfit and you go around scaring kids. That's not nice. You've been a nice guy your whole life. What happened to you? You see, what had happened before isn't what happened afterwards. I mean, most serial killers were pretty nice kids. We care about what's going to happen. And you find this out if you know me long enough. I don't give a rat's ass about what you have done before this, whether you've gotten in trouble or whatever. What I care about is what you're going to do next. And that's where we're all going to be living. So make sure you understand that concept when you're looking at costs, and I ask you the distinction between accounting and finance costs. No, I told you I was going to do this. I'm going to give you one like, you lend someone $1,000 and you want to be paid back in 5 years. Okay, are you the issuer of a note, issuer of a bond, issuer of a bill? Are you the buyer or the investor in a bill, a note, or a bond? I'm going to describe a scenario and I'm going to give you a multiple choice and you find the one that describes what happened. Remember, if you're the borrower, you're the writer, you're the issuer, you're the seller. If you're the borrower, you're the writer, you're the issuer, you're the seller of the debt instrument. If you're the lender, you are the buyer, the purchaser, the lender, the investor. So if I lend you, madam, $1,000, I'm investing in you. I'm buying a debt security that you have written. I might have actually written it down, but it's yours. You're going to sign it. I might have my lawyers prepare it for you, but you issue, I invest. And the investment is, what am I going to get? I expect to get the agreed upon interest rate. Okay. Now, quick mention about bonds. The James Bond movie came out this weekend. Pretty good, I have to say. No, wait, bonds. The chapter on bonds, I'm not going to have you calculate any prices or yields. That I'll do on the final exam and on quizzes. The next quiz, I'll do that. What I would, of course, ask you about is, well, what's the difference between what's a debenture versus a mortgage bond? In other words, the terminology would be more. Also, I could ask you about bond price dynamics. In other words, as a bond approaches, as the term of a bond approaches zero, the bond approaches par value. Or the closer you get to the time of maturity, the closer the bond gets to par value, simply because the coupon and the yield spread doesn't mean anything if you're very close to maturity. More the terminology and the conceptualization of how bonds work. Now, interest rates. Make sure you know the internal structure of the risk-free rate and the three components of the risk premium. Again, know the internal structure of the risk-free rate and know the three components of the risk premium. Default, maturity, and all that. Okay. And be able to tell me, okay, you. I'm going to ask you a trick question. Which would have a higher maturity premium? A 20-year U.S. Treasury bond or a single-A 20-year corporate bond? Which one would have a higher maturity premium? A 20-year Treasury bond or a 20-year single-A corporate bond? I love it. Did you hear what she said? She said it'd be the same. I will still fail you for some reason or other. No, that was good. You see, because they're both 20 years, maturity premium is doesn't matter, okay? They are the same. Now, the default premium, the Treasury bond doesn't have a default premium. The single A would have a default premium. Now, the liquidity premium, you might have, you have no problem. There's no liquidity premium when you're selling a Treasury of any kind. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I don't trade bonds that much. I can't imagine that there would be any real difficulty trading, buying or selling a single-A corporate bond, but I just don't know. I would imagine that if there is a liquidity premium, it's got to be tiny. Unlike if you're buying, you know, if you've got a junk bond, you might have a real bear of a time trying to get rid of that thing. Yeah, I've got these Sears bonds due in 2024. I wonder where I'm going to sell those. Probably nowhere. You're going to put it in a sell order and it'll just sit there until Jesus comes back. Yeah, you're not. I mean, that's really hard. Junk bonds are hard to get rid of. But, I mean, no. The thing, though, is I'm not going to give you something that's a real trap. But do make sure that you know the three parts. Obviously, the default premium on a collateralized loan, a mortgage loan, is going to be low because you can get, you know, if you default, the lender is going to be able to liquidate the asset. But if there's no backing for it, like debentures of any kind, well, yeah. Okay, make sure that you, oh, well, what am I talking about? Make sure you know the difference between who has the residual and who has the prior claim on the cash flows of a corporation. Who gets money first? Who gets what's left over? I can't believe I'm telling you all of this. I mean, I guess, you know, you could say I'm Pizza Hut because I deliver. That's right, I'm full of cheese. The cheesiest guy you'll meet. Okay. Okay. Now, I've opened up all three of those answer keys. If you've got questions, I want to make sure. Tomorrow night, I'm going to have a Zoom hour from 6:30 to 7:30. Just click on the office hours link and jump in. And if you've got any quick questions, don't ask me, well, what's the meaning of life for God's sake? I mean, I don't have time. But if you've got a quick, dirty question, like from the quiz or something like that, just go ahead and climb in there and just visit for a few minutes. I might be eating, you know, cheese puffs or something like that, and you'll meet my cats, but other than that, so that's available to you just for an hour, 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow night, just to visit and ask questions. No, I'm not going to answer if you show me, say, can you show us the test? Primary, secondary, premiums. Oh, financial statements from the SEC. Know the ones, I talked about the 10Qs, 10Ks, and 8Ks. Make sure you know what those are. Know what an MD&A, Management Discussion and Analysis of the Results of Financial Operations. Make sure you understand just basically what they are and what you find in the different statements. Your ratios. I am not going to have you calculate a ratio. I've told you this before. They do that, they think that they're taking over finance in the accounting department by beating you up doing ratios in some of the classes. And I just step off to the side and watch that train go by because I don't give a rat's ass. You can calculate the ratios, you can get the ratios on Standard & Poor's Global Net Advantage. What I want you to be able to do is tell me what ratios mean and the relationships. Which is bigger, current ratio or burn? Which is smaller, ROA or ROE? What does it tell you if the times interest earned is below one? What happens as your total assets decline? What happens to return on assets as your total assets decline? I described that. That was the refinery story I told you. Net margin. Net margin should always be as large as possible. Is that true or false? That's false. It's obvious. No, some companies just have very high net margins. Some companies just have low net margins. That's just the reality of it. However, what does net margin mean? What is that telling you? What would happen to gross margin if your wholesale costs start skyrocketing? And you cannot correct by increasing your prices. If you're trapped in a highly competitive market, but your wholesale costs are going through the roof, what happens to your gross margin? Hint, it's not pretty, because you can't jack up your prices because you've got too many competitors being idiots who thought it was great to jump into your industry, and now you're all dying because you can't jack up your prices even though you're facing higher and higher wholesale costs. This was what happened. It happens over and over again in the airline industry. Airlines are making big, big fat bucks, so every hoe handle and his mother jumps in with a new airline, and then they're all competing against each other, and then suddenly jet fuel goes through the roof, and so they can't raise their revenues because they can't jack up their prices because everyone else is in the industry competing. And so suddenly you have bankruptcies and all this excitement goes on and on, over and over again through corporate history. We've seen this. Mother's work is never done. Know the different kinds of companies, the sole proprietorship, partnership, limited liability company, corporation. What's unusual about corporations? There are a couple of things that are very unusual about corporations. Yeah. Yes, they are immortal. They theoretically. Now, they can die because they're stupid, but it's sort of like apparently there's this kind of squid that is immortal. When it decides that its time is getting too old, it suddenly just gets rid of all of its body except for this small part, and then it grows from infancy again. So it's immortal, but that doesn't mean we can't catch it and turn it into calamari, right? Now, which gross. Why do you eat calamari? What the hell is that? You pull up in these things. God. Of course, then again, I eat Spam, so people bitch about that. Compounding and discounting. One's finding present values, one's finding future values. Make sure you know that. And don't bitch at me if you get it wrong. I've just told you the question. I've talked about this before. Make sure you know what's an exchange and what's just an index of some kind. Like the New York Stock Exchange. Now, let me ask you this. Is that an exchange or an index? The New York Stock Exchange. You are a rocket scientist. Yes, of course, it's called an exchange. However, the Dow 30, is that an exchange or is that an index? Yeah, that's an index because, 30 stocks. Okay, I was about to say 30 socks cannot make an exchange, but then again, I've had dealing with the second world developing countries, I've had a couple of these Ministry of Finance officials show me they were so proud they had a stock exchange. And I thought, okay, this is different. I didn't know that. And there it is, 20 companies. That's their stock exchange, 20 companies. You know, the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, the AMEX, and all of our regional exchanges, maybe 100 million companies. And there were 20 companies trading. And I say trading because maybe one or two of them might have a purchase of a few shares every day. Okay. Really? Why is it dark in here? Sorry. Thought I had my first stroke there, you know, black in front of my face. Risk and return. Know the relationship between risk and expected return. Similarly, know the relationship between price and yield. Risk and return, price and yield. Those two fundamental relationships in finance. My God, this test goes on forever. You should know some information about current situation on the stock market, on Federal Reserve policy. What has the Fed been doing for the past few years? And what short-term effect does that have on interest rates? What has the Fed been doing for the last few years? Go ahead, you want to try it? Which means, what is the fancy term for that? We've got to sound sophisticated. So people on Facebook, leave us alone. They add liquidity. Yes. You got to sound sophisticated. Look, sooner or later, you're going to go to a finance singles bar. If you say they're pumping money in, I mean, they're going to think you're perv, okay? Swipe left on Tinder for you. But if you say they are adding liquidity to the economy, I guarantee you, you will not go home alone from the finance singles bar. Gotcha. Okay. I'm here for you, brah. What happens when the growth rate of the money supply is greater than the growth rate of the economy? Don't answer it, just know what happens. When the growth rate of the money supply is greater than the growth rate, the real growth rate of the economy. I'm almost done talking to you now, but I will tell you one last thing. I'm going to give you a screenshot of a screen. I'm going to capture tonight, I'll do it tonight. I try to get as close as I can of, you know, the Yeehaw Finance thing. I'm going to just capture it, and I'm going to ask you a few questions. Okay, if you bought 100 shares, what would it cost you? Not counting commission. If you sold a number of 100 shares, how much would you get? Is this a risky company, or is this not a risky company? How many dollars are investors willing to pay to claim $1 of current earnings for this company? I was apprised, and I thought this had been fixed, that your textbook gets the definitions of bid and ask bass-ackwards. The bid is what you are going to sell your stock at. The ask is what you're going to buy it at. The bid should be below the ask. In other words, you're going to sell your stock for less than you're going to buy it for. It could be a penny or two, or it could be a pretty wide bid-ask spread. You just don't know. But again, no risk, okay? Make sure that you know when you look at a stock screen, one of the first things that you want to do is as a responsible investor, just look at what the risk level of the company is. Now, remember, there were two different metrics that I on that front-end screen that you can look at to tell something about the risk. One is more of the classic, always that one's the one you rely on, but the other one is nothing shabby. And again, the book actually says it wrong. The book says the high price earnings ratios are safer, which is absolutely, I mean, I'm pretty sure the author wrote that when he was high on crack cocaine. There's no, I mean, that's the stupidest thing in the world. The higher the price earnings ratio, the riskier it is, because that means you're paying more and more dollars to claim $1 right now. Tesla. You know what Tesla's P.E. ratio is right now? It's 413. The technical term for that is OMFG. 413. That should not even still exist. I mean, at some point, I mean, if you got to a fever of 120, you would combust. Okay? Have you ever seen those pictures of people who supposedly spontaneously combusted? I was watching one of those last night. There was this lady. All that was left was her 2 feet. I mean, really? And one of her hands. I mean, God, don't. Okay, this is Tesla. Tesla's at a price-earnings ratio that, I mean, historically, you don't see that. The company usually just... And yet there's Elon Musk, his face all puffed up and red from pot, showing off, you know, completely, showing off for everyone like some kind of ham. So we got a big baked ham on stage. Anyway, ask me questions. Go ahead, make my day. You got questions for me? Yeah, go. It's on VeggieNet. It's on ReggieNet. It will open at 2 o'clock. It will close at 3:15. If you have an accommodation, you contact SAS for it right now. Yeah. That's the same one. It sniffed that thing out. I'm sorry about that. I can ignore that. It's just, I'm trying to tell Cengage and VeggieNet are supposed to communicate, but they don't do it very well because some of the names in Cengage are not matching with ReggieNet. But it saw that test that's due, and it says, oh, I'll put that in here too. And I apologize for that. I had a couple of people mention, do we have 2 tests that day? Well, I could be asked to do that to you, but no. Yeah, that's the same test. Just ignore that. Yeah. The bid is what you buy it at. Oh, whoa. I'm sorry. The bid is what you sell it at. The ask is what you buy it at. So in other words, well, suppose that you had a bid of $5.25 for a stock and an ask of $5.28. So in other words, if I sold 100 shares of that stock, I would get $525. If I bought 100 shares of it, I would have to pay $528. It's basically the market maker will buy it from you at a cheap price and then sell it to someone at a higher price. It's the same thing with any market, like with gold. People say, I've got some gold, I'm going to sell it to this gold dealer, and then they're shocked that he's buying it for hundreds of dollars an ounce less than he's going to sell it to people at. That's what's going on there. Go. Those are after your notes and your podcasts, those are definitely something, run through those. Those are Cengages. And the secret is, I actually try to tweak them to correct some information. I don't get everything fixed, but they are technically, they're the same as the book, but I have added and changed some things based on lectures in there, okay? Yeah, I don't touch those PowerPoints at all, because they're copyrighted, and I wouldn't do anything like that. Yes, go ahead. Unless you have a dean of students accommodation, and then you have to have your video on. I'll be sending out the accommodation. The people who are in quarantine and all of that right now, I really don't want them in class.
But yeah, unless you have a dean's note, then it's in class here. Anything else? What else? Go ahead. I won't ask that on the exam. I can show you, but I'm not going to ask it on the exam. There will be no bond pricing, no yields on this exam, only on the final. And we're going to go through all of that right after the test anyway. Trust me, that was just a first pass, and we'll hit that mother or that thing hard right after the exam. Go. Yeah. You use your calculator, not Excel. I'll tell you right now, you'll probably get it wrong if you use Excel, because the calculator in Excel will give you noticeably different answers. It's kind of frustrating. Questions? Yeah.
Can you find the balance of a loan after a certain amount of years?
Yeah, I'll ask you that, just like I did. All you do is, if you've done the TVM calculation for the loan payment, just come back out, second quit, and then apps, finance, go down to BAL. And all you have to do is key in the number of months. So it'd be years. Okay, to get the answer, first of all, get your, get your apps, finance, TVM solver, get your mortgage payment. Then second quit, and then you go back and say apps, finance, and go down to BAL. Now, for the one on the exam, it will be a monthly, so you take the number of years times 12 and hit enter. Once you've done the BAL, you come back out to the main screen. Just type in the number of years times the number of months and hit enter. That's all you do. This is not rocket science. And you will get the answer. It will be exactly right, and you will do something that used to take a lot. You had to crack a formula that was kind of from hell. Yeah, with the bow. I mean, that's a good thing to know anyway, just to see what your balance is on a loan, to see if you're upside down or not. What other questions? Yeah.
How do you find your site again that has the podcast?
isu-prof.com. isu-prof.com. Bear with me one moment here. isu-prof.com. And there it is. Now let me do this on Zoom too. Share. There's the share, and here you just click and you've got a lecture. You can listen to it all night long. I mean, these are here to comfort you on your dark, lonely nights. I'm here for you, or not. You can also click over into iTunes. My iTunes Pro platform, my channel over on iTunes is Illinois State Collegiate Compendium. And I'll bet it's going to block me, so I can't do that here. It just irritates the hell out of me. Did you see this? It's this weird podcast. Yeah, ISU is now blocking my content on my podcasts. I don't know why. There hasn't been anything bad there in like a day or two. No. I don't get that at all. Why it's blocking my... But anyway, my ID on iTunes is... if you want to go in, my ID is 3285-46689, 3285-46689, 46689. Now, you can also get to, hell no, that is... creeping me why they're blocking my podcasts with their firewall here. I mean, this is Apple, and I've been on this for years. But otherwise, you can go, just go into Apple and type Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, and you'll find my, and it'll take you right to my channel, okay? I've been a creator there for years, and for some reason, ISU thinks that Apple iTunes is dangerous or something, for God's sake. But yeah, that's where you can get my podcast. And if you want, you can actually go back and listen to the same podcast for many, many years, actually, depending upon how bored you want to get. Stop the share. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. If it's a payment on a loan, it's end. If you're putting money in to save for some future event, it's begin. Any kind of a mortgage payment or a loan payment, car loan, whatever you have, that's going to be almost always, it would not be in this class, would you ever have a payment that wasn't at the end of a period. But if you're putting money into the bank so that you can have money for something later on, you put in money today, you start today, something like that, that is a begin. In other words, it's an annuity due. Make sure you know those terms, ordinary annuity versus annuity due. And level versus non-level and all of that, of course, is part of the game, too. Anyway. What else? Well, I will be thinking about you. Are you studying? Are you getting your sleep? Are you eating properly? And I will have a Zoom session, 6:30 to 7:30, tomorrow night. Otherwise, that's all I have for you today. I thank you.